भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय
It would be not better if we can form a circle, but I sincerely feel we don't want to face our backs to the deities, so I will just request you to quickly, in the beginning, state your name and what is alive in you in relationship to chanting.
Rasivahari Krishna Das.
Adopted name or?
My spiritual name.
Oh yes, I'm sorry. It's not one of the
no,
one week name. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's alive in this? Particularly this week, I'm trying to build this feeling of separation and try to the mood of please to be engaged in Christian service.
Wonderful. So, I would like you to take note. This could be a role model of your own statement. In one word, you say, my name is so-and-so, and alive in me is that particularly in this week I try to call out in the mood of separation and cultivate that. Mm-hmm, good. Everyone, please, let us quickly go through it. Mm-hmm. 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 Thank you.
Hare Krishna, my name is Nimai, and alive in me at the moment is really wanting to develop and strengthen my relationship with Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And I chant it has more meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Madhuri.
My name is
Vidyangana. Can you repeat?
My name is Vidyangana.
Wonderful. You might get some inspirations today. It's about, there's one part where it's all about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My name is Mahadeep.
Mahadeep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to beg Krishna to engage me in his service.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yes, my name is Kolahari Das. And I'm hoping to enter deeper into my relationship and see Krishna, Hare Krishna, in the name to see the person.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Vrinda Kishori. Was I correct? Was, oh, first time in my life. Yeah.
Okay. Vrinda Kishori.
Yeah.
I want to make my chanting more personal.
I will say wonderful, and you will ask, oh, wonderful, she's lost. Sometimes we have to lose ourselves to find ourselves. Sometimes.
And when you respond, I'm the blessing, and what's alive in me is that while I'm chanting, I'm trying to call out to Krishna to give me the desire to call out to him.
Oh, yeah. Babaji, yes. Wonderful, wonderful. I see someone hiding, not hiding, but someone present behind a pillar. Prabhuji, please say. With a sense of a relationship, yes. Yes, my lady. Oh, wonderful. Yes, thank you. Taste, oh yeah. When I knew it. Yes.
I'm trying to bring Krishna to the forefront of my mind.
Wonderful.
My name is Ananda Chaitanya Das, and I'm trying to relate the names Hare, Hara, Krishna, and Rama to the Lord. I'm trying to have that image, both in Kirtan and during the Emperor.
Yes. Thank you. And your good name?
Yash.
Yash. Oh, Yash. Some taste. For me, chanting is appealing. Appealing.
Behind the door.
That's almost like a Sufi statement. Chanting is appealing behind the door. You mean there is, it's still closed?
Knocking the last door.
Acha, acha, yeah. Can I tell you what I truly feel?
Yes.
I want to stop chanting. That is what I feel in relationship to the Holy Name. Let me describe to you what I mean. When I was in Jagannath Puri chanting, I sat always before the deity of Tota Gopinath and chanted before him. And one morning, as I was a little bit sleepy, I must admit, I was a little, you know, like dozing off. One sannyasi came. He was a Gaudiya Math sannyasi, and he asked, "Are you still trying to chant the holy name, or is the holy name chanting you?" What he meant is, by our own endeavors, we cannot grasp Krishna. We cannot even chant. Krishna has to come, and when Krishna comes, he moves us. This morning I had a beautiful, beautiful realization as I was chanting my japa. I could feel a little bit what that meant. I just didn't want to stop and I couldn't stop. Something was moving me. And that was, I think, these rare moments which we can experience where it's not we who are the doers, but Krishna is doing something as the holy name. So when I say dramatically, I try to stop chanting. you might think, what? He is our workshop instructor. Maybe we are at the wrong place here. Let's go before he infects us with his atheistic mentality. No. I very much want to chant, but I do want to experience the descent of the holy name, the appearance of the holy name, who then will move my tongue and my heart. That is very much, I'm thinking very much about this these last few days. Hare Krishna. Our devotees are there. You can come in. Welcome. I hope you speak English. So, my dear devotees, good. Thank you very much for sharing. Now we are moving right into this workshop. First of all, I want to say what is a workshop and how a workshop is different from a lecture. In a workshop, we want to work. That is, we want to practice. We want to apply and make an experience. In a lecture, we want to gather informations, but workshop is really different. I would like to tell you in the beginning, I want to make an experience with you where I would like to convince you that chanting is very, very effective and wonderful. Our first exercise or our first work today is that we want to experience the power of divine sound in our mind, in our bodies even, and in our heart. I request you to sit tall in the beginning of this thing. We will not be able to take notes because now we will move into an experiential space. Let's just do a few simple pranayams. We start by exhaling very deep. And whenever you breathe in and out, continue. Don't wait. Breathe in and out. Deepen your exhale. That will automatically make you breathe more deeper. When you are ready, I request you to please close your eyes and imagine your own body to be like a temple. In this temple, you, the soul, are situated, and Krishna, the Paramatma. There's a bottom of this temple. The bottom of this temple is where you touch the ground and where you sit. Kindly fix your attention there and chant the powerful sacred syllable Ram. I will chant once alone, and then when you hear your signal, please chant with me. Make sure that in between you breathe in very deeply. I will one time chant alone this syllable, and then we will chant three times this powerful syllable together. Ram. We will move higher up. Now, please concentrate your attention into the area of the heart. It's the place where you, as a soul, reside. And while concentrating your attention there, we will chant four times the sacred syllable Ram. I will chant once alone, and then we chant together. This time I request you to deeply immerse yourself into the sacred syllable. Just hear, or better even, experience the sound vibration. Just experience. A deep inhalation. One more time. We will move one step higher in the temple of sound. We will move our attention to where the dome of this sound temple is. It responds or relates to the area of our head. I will one time chant alone, and then we will chant five times together. Immerse yourself. Space and slowly raise your arms above your head, and then chant with me the most powerful mantra of Gauranga. Please chant in a mood of taking shelter, almost like in the mood of a child crying for Lord Gauranga. I will do this one time alone, and then we will do it six times together. Gauranga. Together. Gauranga. But please louder. Gauranga. Gauranga. Bring your arms down, please. And when you are ready, kindly open your eyes and return to room awareness.
This was an experience of sound. The meaning of the exercise was really only to perceive what is sound and to give ourselves into the sound. If you wish to become a good chanter of the Holy Name, the first thing you really need to learn is to experience Krishna in the sound vibration. Let him come and let him work on you, like we did now at this exercise. Well, the name Ram came and it did something with us. Could you feel as we were chanting together Ram and Gauranga that there was almost an ocean of sound in which you were somehow present? Could you feel? Ananda Chaitanya, you could feel? Radha Kripa could feel? Yes. Swami Madhaji could feel? Vila, huh?
Mahadi.
Mahadi. Mahadi, most deep, yes. So, what we will teach you now is to go Mahadeep, deeper and deeper and deeper as you access different levels of transcendental sound vibration, or as you access different levels of the Holy Name. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
It's a fascinating journey which I invite you to take part in. Who of you has gone to the temple of Sri Ranga in South India? Three of you have gone. Siddheshwari, no? Oh? In this temple, you find altogether three different vaults, concentric vaults, and you have to go through gates in order to come deeper and deeper into the interior of the temple until finally you have darshan. It may not be so clear, so let me draw it on the board here.
Would you be so?
Yeah. This is the first wall. Then inside that wall, there's a second wall, and you go through this gate, huh? You can go through four gates if you want. Then there is even a third wall. It's the world and area. And then there is the temple. Well, this looks more like a mosque. You get the idea, huh? It's Arabic influence here. And in that inner temple, you find the deity of Sri Ranganath. So in the sound also, there are deeper and deeper and yet deeper levels. And as you learn to go through the gates, you will come deeper in contact with the Holy Name until you are Mahadeep. The first is the gate of the body. Who can understand what is the second? Who can guess what is the second gate? Not those who were on the retreat. Vrinda Kishori, you were on the retreat.
The mind?
Mind, you know everything. Mind. Third gate. Soul. Heart. Wonderful. Now, as you chant, we will learn how to take on the correct physical, make the correct physical foundations, like clear pronunciation, sit properly, and all these things we will learn. Then you go a little bit deeper because you are now concentrated, but you have to now face the mind and focus the mind. You have to pass through this gate. And then finally, we all want to chant with some feeling, right? We don't want to be so dry. And most of what you said is really, and I'm very, very pleased to note this, in this dimension. You said you wished to feel a relationship to the Holy Name. Now, finally, by these techniques which you will learn today, you will come to the temple of the Holy Name. Now, if Radha and Krishna reveal themselves and open the door, is entirely up to them. There is no technique to make the Holy Name reveal himself and herself. No technique. But when the Holy Name sees, or if Radha and Krishna see that we really try to engage body, mind, means concentration and heart, our devotional feelings, in the chanting of the Holy Name, they are becoming pleased and they will open the door from inside.
No.
Krishna. No. For sure they will do. Yeah, I know. For sure they will do. Demonstration. This door remains closed. Like our Spanish hosts have said, no, it won't work. But when you learn to chant the Holy Name properly, Krishna will for sure reveal himself and come to your aid. So this is the idea of this retreat. We will go deeper and deeper. It's a journey, which I would like to do with you. Obviously, we can't do a workshop for 1.5 hours and learn the highest secrets and hope to get the highest levels of God consciousness in 1.5 hours. I would think that sounds a little bit cheap for our ears. No, but what we can learn is we can get the points and then we can practice with these points in our daily life and practice and practice until we become or until we near perfection, until we become close to perfection. So, are you... I think I already have seen that you are ready. Let me just pose myself in the right direction. Let's start with the first gate. The physical dimension. Let us start with the most basic point of this, which is the posture.
I request you, just for the experience, Tulsi, I know you must be totally tired, but for this one, no, only for this one, otherwise you can take the support of the wall. Try to sit properly. The way we do it is, please touch your hips, the hip bones, and just gently move them a little bit forward, roll them forward. If you want to sit straight, this puts you back, they roll back, huh? But if you roll them a little bit forward, no? It's almost like you moving your torso towards the front. Okay, then roll your shoulders in the opposite direction, roll them a little bit back, and bring your hands to rest on the knees, and bring your head in the upright position. As I continue to talk, please stay like this. You will see this position will very much influence the way you feel. It influences the energies in the body. I always say that once someone came to a holy man who walked like this, you know. Asked for an advice. My wife left me, my money is gone, and so on. The holy man didn't answer. He just took the same miserable posture, and after only 2 minutes, he shouted, "It works! It works on me! I also feel depressed." Posture so much influences the mind. And the mind also influences the posture. So on this level, we will work on a very external level. We will just go into a posture which is open, which is, you know, the idea is openness, and we will sit like this. You know, please do me a favor. Let us fold the hands like this and lower our gaze. And let us just experience how we feel, huh? Just. Okay. Now, in opposition, I request you to take a very proud position. Take your... Nima, you can't do it because you're such a humble person. You have to go up and forward. As if you're ready to, I don't know, to do something foolish. Yes. Okay, let's sit normally. Have you noticed a difference when you go in a humble position? Vang Siddhara, Haribo. And when you sit in an arrogant position, have you noticed a difference? It is a difference. Or if you take this gesture, you can't be very unhappy in this gesture. It's simply not possible. It's like smiling and thinking, my life is miserable. It doesn't work, you know. It doesn't work. This is like the surrender, the happy gesture. So, exercise the right posture. It will positively influence everything. Let's go a little bit deeper, because I know that my very nice assistant, Gaurahari, always wants me quickly to move on from the posture, so we will do this. I will now go to the second dimension of the physical area. It is proper pronunciation. For proper pronunciation, you have to use both the upper lip and lower lip. I request you to watch my lips now. I will chant one time the Hare Krishna mantra alone, and then I request you to pronounce the Hare Krishna mantra by using really upper and lower lip. You can even exaggerate a little bit, as if you come from Germany. And so don't worry, I won't look at your lips so that you're not embarrassed, but you can look at mine. I close my eyes now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. See, I'm trying to pronounce. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Utilize your upper and lower lip, please. Rama Rama, Hare. One more time. Hare Krishna. Really make an effort to use your lips. Yes. Excellent. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. One more time. Pay attention to the right pronunciation, please. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Good. Now, for the last exercise in the physical dimension, I request you to listen very concentrated. Now, in order to help us listen, I will make a few experiments with you, which are all about recognizing sound. I request you, when I give you the sign, to really become extremely attentive and just become attentive to the process of listening, that is, perceiving sound. So, when you're ready, sit tall, please. Exhale very deeply. And inhale. Close your eyes when you're ready. And just try to perceive sound. Here comes the first sound for you. Here comes the second sound for you. It's a little bit more difficult. Here comes the third sound. Again. And the last sound. Thank you. Remain now as concentrated as you have become and chant with me the Hare Krishna mantra and just take care of three things: posture, pronunciation, and listening. Especially pay attention to listening. I will do it one time alone, and then we will do it together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time. Hare Krishna. Posture. Pronunciation. And hearing. One last time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, posture, pronunciation, and hearing. Thank you very, very much. This was the foundational exercise where we used our body to sit properly, to pronounce the mantra properly, and to listen properly. There are a few more foundational exercises, like for instance to choose the proper time. Any one of you know when it's the most favorable time for attentive chanting? Tulsi? During the Brahma Muhurta, which is starting, some say 45 minutes before sunrise, others say 1.5 hours before sunrise, and goes into sunrise. Huh? During this time is the best time for chanting. Anyone has the idea why it is most favorable? Yes, Krishna Ketan? No one will call you during that time they are resting. Mm-hmm.
Even the animals are asleep.
Even the animals are asleep.
It's the start of the day, so anything that happens during the day, you don't have anything on your mind, you're just fresh and feel, you know, you've just woken up, you're awake.
Yeah. I would like to concentrate on what Tulsi has contributed, although all the other things are also very relevant. When you want to put something into a container, it has to be free. You know, this here I have all kinds of paper and notes and these two of these pieces of cloth. You know, not much goes into it. So when our mind is so occupied by the things which happened during the day, it's very difficult to really concentrate. Not much goes in. So we want to have a start in the morning where our mind is less occupied. And the best is in the morning. Also, we hear of some subtle energy reasons. The world has been awakened or is in the process of being awakened. The trees and plants start to awake. Everything starts to arise. A new beginning is possible. So that's the energy of the Brahma Muhurta time. And now, I know that this is difficult to chant for some of us because we get out of bed and then need to travel towards the university or our working places and so on. So another time which is good is when you come home And when your day has gone, then you might like to take a quick shower. Water calms the body and wakes up, calms the mind and wakes up the body. So you can take a nice fresh shower. Or you can just go to a place which is sacred for you and remain there. Make a little altar corner in your home, have pictures and sit there. When you don't have to worry, if there is an urgent phone call, then schedule it either till later when you're done with your japa, or do it and get it out of the way. But my recommendation is, when you sit down to chant, make a cut to with what you do in order to be ready, fresh, and receptive. No? Make a cut, either by showering or by going into another place, airing. Maybe you want to do a few simple exercises, like a few push-ups and a few sit-ups and so on. Make a cut so that you are not occupied with so many things in your mind. Okay, these are the foundational or physical dimensions which we can easily arrange. But now we go deeper. We go into the area of the mind. Much has been said about the power of the mind. May I hear a few small responses? What do you experience your mind doing when you chant japa? What are some of the movements of the mind? It thinks about problems it can't solve. Yeah, I have also... And again and again returns to it and seems to be almost orbiting around that unsolvable thing. Yes? It thinks about everything else you have to do. Yes?
I find not often, but sometimes the mind tries to take you into especially Krishna Leela, and makes you think, don't listen to the name, this is boring, try and think of something.
Yeah. Try to think of something, said the mind, even exalted subject matter, but don't listen,
I find my mind adapts, so it brings up one subject matter, and if I can push that to one side, it'll then come up with another subject matter.
Oh, yeah.
Adapts to try and always trick me in.
Yeah. I don't know, do you all acoustically hear the contributions, then I don't have to repeat them, yes? Yeah, good, then it adapts, yeah? Ananda Chaitanya.
Maharaj comes up with the best ideas.
It comes up with the best. Yes. I think I saw it.
Sometimes when it's a busy time, a busy day, I find that the mind, when I'm chanting, just almost reflects and actually enjoys just thinking about the day and what it's done. And it actually just, and it's really hard because you have to kick it out, but it's actually important.
Yeah. After the day, the mind is full and it's. Yeah. What's about? Remember that, remember that, remember. Are there any positive things which the mind does? Any experience you have? We have now more or less discussed things where the mind is an obstacle. Is there some positive experience you have? I think there must be. Yes, Vrindavan Vihari.
When you've had a really difficult time, it escapes. So then it really
absorbs. Have we made this experience? You know, it was a really difficult thing, and then the mind seems to take run for shelter and take shelter. I have seen that sometimes misery is a good teacher for that, for that aspect. Yes, Krishna Kiran. It will come back. Okay, then we. Anyone? Amadati, yes?
Sometimes when the mind is running away, you know it's running away, you can actually just stay there and stop.
You can actually order it back, the mind, yeah? Yeah, I have also seen, it's like the a dog on a leash, you know, and then, come back, and it comes back.
Sometimes,
good, it's in a way a good way to explore the holy name. So it makes the mind excited about exploring the chanting.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, now I'll pay attention.
Yeah. In other words, you experience some excitement and a resulting desire to cooperate with the chanting. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
If my mind's taking away, my mind also just flicks to feeling guilty, and that also why have I drifted off feelings of guilt?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes there is something like a positive feeling of guilt. I did something wrong. Let's correct that. Yes. And yes. The power of the mind is godlike. It's very, very, very powerful. And most people have not learned to harness this power. Let me tell you the most amazing story it's really about an elephant. This elephant, I should explain it from the beginning. A circus in India caught somehow fire and burned down. And luckily, all the captured animals could escape. The lions, the tigers, monkeys, the horses, and so on. Only the most powerful of the circus animals, the elephant, was found having burned to smoldering mass of meat. And the people who investigated, insurance people, I suppose, investigated the case, were amazed. They found out that elephant had been bound only with a thin rope, maybe like this, to a similarly thin pole. And they couldn't imagine. The monkeys could somehow open the bars. The leopards could somehow destroy the doors of their cages, but the most strongest animal couldn't escape. What was the cause? So they went into the history when the elephant was captured from the jungle and brought to the circus. At that time, the circus people and trainers, I think you call them animal handlers, had bound him by a chain on a strong iron pillar. And that young elephant, just captured away from his mother, had tried several times to escape from captivity. It had rubbed its leg until the foot was bleeding. It had tried everything until after a week or so it had resigned to the idea, no, I'm a captive, and so on. And from that moment, they just needed to bind the little elephant with a little rope like this. Why? Because the chain had come into the mind. It thought, I am a captive. I cannot escape captivity. And because of this thinking, it remained a captive and could not escape. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? We all are like that elephant, captive. Prabhupada convinced us once, he said, impossible is a word for captured elephants, or the word is a word in the Fool's Dictionary. We all have our concepts, our mental matrices, our mental prisons, which make us think in a certain way and make us helpless. We can't think in another way. Every one of you has a chain in the mind, and it keeps us. Oh no, I can't do this. I will never be personal. Oh, I will never be a good chanter. Me giving up sense gratification, forget it. I can't do it. You know, to give a lecture, no, never, 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 never. No, 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 no. Our mind is constantly putting these illusory programs into us and captures us. And our mind is very, very, very naughty when we want to chant. Now, we will face the mind. Are you ready? I want to chant with you by... I wanted to do a meditation practice, but I noticed some of you are a little tired. Huh? They brought some tiredness into this workshop. This is the wrong workshop for being tired, because there is a lot of meditation. So here, therefore, I will do something which will wake you up. This is something which will help you when you're tired, when you come home. Take your middle finger and bring it from behind the index finger in this position. Okay? Then take your thumbs and go over the two fingernails of the small finger. Is it the small finger? Is it called the pinky?
Yeah.
The pinky and the ring finger. And now you will really experience what the mind can do. Now raise your arms and bring the shoulder blades back. It should be it's a healthy stretch. Unless you have a cannonball in your shoulder, then it's not recommended to do this. Now, I will speak to you. Whatever happens, don't let the arms come down, okay? We will wake you up a little bit and shake you. My dear devotees, now I want to introduce the most powerful process, which I call one mantra at a time. It comes actually from Burijan Prabhu. What we will do is, we will chant the Hare Krishna mantra. You can do it. Don't be afraid. Vrindavan Bihari, it is not a problem for you. You might like to go a little bit higher up, yeah, and a little bit back. If you develop a healthy sweat, that's desired. So, we will now bring the shoulders a little bit more back. Don't worry, I won't torture you much more. A little bit more back. Sit straight. No problem. Absolutely no problem. Remember, impossible is a word in the, in the dictionary, which we don't need to know. And now, again, a healthy stretch to the sea. Then slowly, not all at once, bring your arms back and rest them on the knees. Okay. Sit straight. Observe how your breath is going in and out. Now, imagine yourself to observe how you observe that your breath is going in and out. Observe yourself breathing. To make it easy, you might like to imagine that you watch from the ceiling down. How are you dressed? What is your head like? Is it covered? Is it shaven? Observe how you observe that you are breathing.
My dear devotees, this is about the being mode, not the thinking mode. Experience being. Sit like a mountain. The thoughts which come and go are like so many clouds passing. Concentrate on being, being eternal. Being a part of Krishna. It is from this position where we will chant now. Our exercise is one mantra, or more clearly, concentrate with your mind on one mantra at a time. Don't think about the mantra which you chanted before, and also don't think that you will chant more mantras. Be fully present to what's going on. I will chant one mantra at a time, alone, and then you will chant one mantra at a time and alone. Not alone, I mean, then we will do it all together. Just listen. Sit straight, posture, pronunciation, and listening. But this time, bring your mind to the practice and let it stay. Let it be present. Let it observe. Shine it like the ray of the torchlight on one mantra only. Every syllable. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Now I'm thinking of Krishna. Krishna, Hare. Now I'm all Hare. Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Ra, I'm all Ra, and then Ma. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Chant now in one voice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. One mantra now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. One mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. One mantra. Be present. Fully present. Totally connected to the sound. Totally connected to the pronunciation. One mantra. Totally connected to hearing what's going on. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare, 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 keep on mantraing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. One more mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Bring your mind like a laser beam and read the mantra. Thank you. What were your experiences? Both your experiences of failure, where you could see your mind was trying to, or your experiences of connection. Please, anyone?
Was it okay to visualize the mantra in my mind? Is it much easier
to concentrate? Oh yeah, this is very good. I'm almost embarrassed to again ask you for your name.
It's Rasa Vihari Krishna.
Rasa Vihari Krishna. Yes. For mind concentration, there is actually the example, there is actually the technique of traktak. That is, you see the name either as it is written down or in your mind. And then lock your mind to this. I often do that. I close the eyes and then traktak means you just focus your mind. You almost read the Maha Mantra as you would read a column in a newspaper. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a very good technique. I'm not teaching it here, today, but this is very authorized and very traditional. Mm-hmm. Good. Any experience, please, Vrindavan Bihari? You were the mind was agitated, yeah.
And then afterwards calmed down.
Yeah. Has someone of you also made the mind says, no way! Because now you're really capturing it. See, the idea of this one mantra is that you really are present to the chanting. That was also the idea of the exercise, which I did as fast as possible because I don't want you to fall asleep when you are already sleep deprivated. It's you're like a mountain and you see your mind actually. You have to first, in order to handle the mind, you have to recognize it. You have to see it. You have to experience this as something which is separate from you, something which you can take and which you can focus. But most people nowadays, they have totally merged with the mind. And they actually think when the mind is unhappy that they are unhappy. And they think that when the mind is exhilarated that they are happy. It's not a fact. It's the mind's doing. It's not they who do it. Mm-hmm. So in that exercise, Krishna Kiran, you will be the next one to contribute. In that exercise, it's very important to observe the mind. Observe how you are breathing. Observe, you can take it further, how you are thinking. It's you come into the observer role, which is either that you use your buddhi, you switch from the reactive mind to the reflective intelligence where you observe. Or for those of you who are a little bit more experienced, you could actually, if you are spiritually advanced, you see from the position of the spiritual energy and watch the material energy, the mind and the intelligence working. Mm-hmm. So this is good when you chant, you have to take yourself back a little bit. We will do an exercise very soon where you will do that. And then use your mind and intelligence. Yes, Krishna Ketan, any experience?
I was finding that this stepping back thing was working at the beginning.
Yeah.
Mood you had created. And I thought, wow, this is nice, because I was hearing even the syllables within the mantra, so the
heart. Oh.
But then
it switched back.
When I thought I was doing good, I felt relief when you were saying some words in between.
Yeah.
You were saying drop one mantra at a time. Or
yeah.
And that gave me relief, because my mind had something to play with again.
Yeah. It is, you came back from that observer role and was, yes, it's, am I correct? You came down from that observer role, or away from that observer role. Yes, don't worry, it will happen again and again, but for this practice is required. Practice listening, and for that you see, you observe how you are listening. Okay, I'm listening now. Or you can do this when you are in your life, you can practice it. When you're getting, let us say, maybe slightly irritated or angry, you can just say, okay, let me take myself back a little and watch, now I'm angry, but I don't have to act upon this feeling. It's just a passing emotion, like a cloud, which passes by. This is so extremely helpful and will carry into your other phases of your life. You are actually learning and chanting also as a byproduct to handle emotions, which are very coming and going. Emotions happen where the mind meets with the body. No? So, Krishna. Yes. I'm sorry. I was slightly irritated. My mind went. What nice telephone sound! I thought for. Yes, Maharaj. Yeah.
And I really struggle when I have to chant like that, to focus on my, it's not patient enough.
Yeah, it could be something else. What I'm doing in this workshop is I'm deliberately taking you out of the unconscious habits. That's what I'm doing, so that you experience yourself a little bit in need to orient yourself new. Because if we keep on doing the same things, sometimes, you know, this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, gives us some sense of comfort, because it's in our comfort zone. But it's inattentive chanting, you know. So here I'm trying to awake certain other functions which you have as a human being, and engage them in Krishna's service. Let us be very careful with these so-called comfort zones. They are very often unconscious patterns of behavior and thinking, which do give us some sense of being home, some sense of comfort, because we just do this every day. Like, for instance, every day we may, I mean, not you, but there are some people who every day eat too much, you know, out of habit. They just stuff themselves. And they feel comfortable when they do it. And when they fast, they feel uncomfortable. Or when they eat less, they feel eerie. But it is good for them. Huh? We are slaves of habits. And I will talk about this in the last lecture, which I will give. Mm-hmm. Yes, Yash. Yeah. It is all right. Make sure that you sit straight. That's the then you can concentrate. And ask yourself, Yash, you are how young? You are, must be around 18 or so. 17. If you can't sit like this, then it may be that you are not flexible enough. You must maybe move a little bit more, dance a little bit more, get a little bit more in shape. Huh? But it's all right. This is the ideal position to chant. Why? Because a triangle is built with the body. This builds
a triangle, so to say, and you can feel it's almost like being sheltered in a situation where the energies are walled in. Therefore, Valadev Vidyabhushana said, the best position for chanting and praying is sitting. It's not walking. Devotees have often asked me, Maharaj, but can't we walk? We fall asleep when we can't walk. And my answer is, of course, when you're so tired that you have to walk in order to function. But maybe this fact that you are so tired sends you a note that you should sleep a little bit more. You know, this is... I think it's a life where it's not all right. When we sit down, at the moment we sit down, we go like, fall asleep. It means we really need rest, you know. There is a justified need for rest, you know. Normally you should be awake when you sit like this. Okay. We will have ample opportunity to ask questions. I would just like that we focus on experiences at the moment. Any other one wants to share, or should we go further? How was it for you?
I was going to say, I kept getting distracted by my body. So my mosquito bites were itching.
Like anything, yeah. You know, when I do the when I do these things where I relax people and so on, the first thing usually which happens is they start to cough because they start to relax, and now everything opens and they cough, you know, so more becoming aware of mosquito bites. Does anyone of you know homeopathy? When you take the pills, first the symptoms become heavier. So when we try to control the mind screams out louder than usually. Good. My dear devotees, for this exercise, we need to turn towards Radha Govinda Chandra. We will now enter the dimension of the heart. The heart gate can be opened by prayer. Prabhupada said that the chanting of the holy name is our first and foremost prayer. So when we speak of chanting from the dimension of the heart, we really speak about prayerful chanting. I will read to you now a wonderful prayer. Look towards Radha Govinda Chandra, please. If you like, you can fold your hands before your chest. And try to follow what I say now. I will read to you a poetic rendition of the fifth verse spoken by of the Shastakam spoken by Sri Chaitanya. We will try to enter the spirit of this prayer. Try to feel what is said, and then sing our hearts to Sri Sri Radha Govinda Chandra. O son of Nanda, Krishna, king of the country of love, can you hear me? I appeal for your affection. I'm your servant. I feel deep within myself that I have some connection with you. I am subordinate to you, but somehow I am now in adverse circumstances. There are so many enemies in me trying to take me and my attention away from you. Therefore, I cannot give my full attention to you and your name. But at the same time, I feel from the deepest place in my heart that you are really my master. You are my all and everything to me. My heart will never, ever be satisfied without your companionship. So I appeal to you. I'm living under unfavorable circumstances. I'm suffering. Without your grace, I cannot find relief from my present imprisoned condition. O Sri Sri Radha Govinda Chandra, please save me from the ocean of birth and death. Please break into pieces the fears of your surrendered devotee. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Radha Govinda Chanda, Radha Govinda Chanda, Radha Govinda Chanda, Radhe, Radha Govinda Chanda, Radha Govinda Chanda, Radha Govinda Chanda, Radha. Jaya Radha Govinda Chanda, Radha Govinda Chanda, Radha Govinda Chanda, Radhe. Hai Bo! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kindly turn around when you are ready to turn around. My dear devotees and also dear friends, this last dimension, or the dimension of the heart, is really where we want to arrive at.
when we are here in the dimension of the heart, where we actually can turn prayerfully to the holy name, Radha and Krishna, then we also don't mind waiting a little bit, waiting for them to reveal their sweetness to us and their mercy. See, when you are in the dimension of the heart, you are sitting before the temple or the inner core of the holy name, which is has the deities Radha and Krishna there. No? Now, if you, after a long, long journey, have arrived in the temple, you don't mind to wait for a few seconds before a merciful pujari will pull the curtain for you. You can wait. It's already all right. It's perfect. You made it to the temple. So if you have come to the dimension of your heart, the dimension where you open your heart to the relationship with Radha and Krishna, then, you know, be a little patient. It's not under your control when Radha and Krishna choose to reveal themselves. Be patient. You are already sitting there. It's soon coming. The door will open, but it will be opened from the inside, not from the outside. In other words, we have to wait until from inside the core of the mantra, Radha and Krishna will open the door and say, "My dear devotee, here I am. Here we are." Lord Chaitanya expressed this very nicely in his prayer.
Ai nannatanu yakinkaram patitam mam visame bhavam budo kripaya tava pada pankaja stita dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I'm your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other, I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please, pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet.
Let me now summarize what we have learned. Please look at this schematic drawing. For good japa and kirtan, first of all, we take what is easiest to arrange or to align, that is our body. It means we sit properly, we pronounce the mantra, that it is completely there, and we concentrate on listening. This is like entering through the first gate of a Gopuram in Sri Rangam, which brings us towards the deity. No? The next thing is we have to check our mind. The mind, we have to harness the mind and bring it to the art of concentration. There are different ways you can do it. I suggest this one mantra at a time, that you really think, okay, we are now we are chanting Hare Krishna, let me focus on the now, or let me be present in the present. Usually our mind wants to go into the past, what happened in the day, and so on, or it will make plans for the future. Oh, then I will go shopping, then I will buy my sabjis,
and my vegetables, and then I will purchase also the different items I require in the home or which the family requires. No, when you chant, we don't need the past and we don't need the future. We need the now, the present. We need to be in the moment there. And that means, in practical application, be with the mantra. Or you can also say, be with the syllables of the mantra. Huh? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You will see, in the beginning, the mind will rebel, almost like a horse on whom you have jumped, and you are now wanting the horse to go in a certain direction. The horse says, "No way! I'm not interested. I will either stand here, or why not gallop to another part of the country?" You know. But you have to slowly bring the mind under control by just letting it be in the present. Therefore, we did this exercise where you just actually get off the mental platform. It means don't identify with the thoughts of the mind. Be like a mountain who watches it. Huh? Then the last thing was the heart, which can be offered by prayer. Which can be opened by prayer. You can just meditate while you chant. This is what Jiva Goswami recommends on the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra, which is, "My dear Radha, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your service." These are the three dimensions of chanting, which I teach in this japa workshop, but there is obviously much, much, much more to be talked. And yesterday Krishna Kirtan came with an excellent idea which resonated with something I wanted to offer to actually the whole group, really. And I think it's nice if in the future we deepen this and meet again together for a japa and kirtan workshop, which is not 1.5 hours and which doesn't take place in the midst of a moving festival where we are stirred up by so many things which we have seen, but we just concentrate on this good work. Mm-hmm. So yes. So watch the news. I think we are in the process really to look for next year on the calendar. This year is already full, but next year we look at the calendar and then we advertise. And then it would be nice to see not only all of you, but also the other kirtan, the other people who came through this workshop. Yesterday we spoke about it, so I have not informed anyone else than you. Good. Now I would like to just open the forum for questions, but I first need to know what is the time, please. Yes, Krishna Kirtan, you have a question or the time? Yes, go.
We can go on for another 10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay.
The question is, can you do another 5 minute kirtan, please?
Another 5 minute kirtan. Yeah, maybe at the very end. Yeah, at the very end. Good. Yes, we will do. So, any questions? So, now I was so meditative, now I have to ask a question. You always have a question, I will take you into... Yes, Mataji, please again help me with your... Krishna Purna, full Krishna, 100% Krishna, yes. Yeah.
So how do I always say I want to sit down and how do I avoid getting pain and that comes to my mind?
Yeah. I sincerely suggest that you go to some good yoga instructor and they can give you exercises. You know, and I'm also 56 now. I'm scandalously old.
I also couldn't sit any longer, but then I just took some simple yoga exercise. I'm do 5 minutes, 6 minutes, and then you can sit if you want to sit on the floor. There, the expert yoga instructor has to see where is the particular problem. It's usually atrophied muscles when we get older, you know, and so on. That will, because when you are in pain, the pain diverts your attention. And there is no harm in sitting on a chair if it's absolutely not possible. Yeah. Or shifting around, or, you know, but yes, when we are a little older and you don't look like being a teenager any longer, 17 years or so, yes, then we need to see that our body is pain-free. Yes, Vrinda Kishori. Have I said it correctly? Ah, good. Yes, I feel so gratified because you were with your husband at the Kirtan retreat in Croatia and you gave happiness to all the participants' heart and should know your name, you know. Vrinda Kishori, what is your question?
It's a little controversial.
No problem.
After the retreat, we did a sort of workshop on this for the last part of the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And a common question that was asked was, Srila Prabhupada used to go on japa walks quite a lot, so it wasn't so much stressed by Srila Prabhupada.
This question comes up a lot. See, there is a commentary to Vedanta Sutra written by our Gaudiya Acharya Baladev Vidya Bhushana, who says, for a few comments, he says, when we do prayer and japa, it is done while sitting. Now, after he has stressed this for five verses or so, he goes on to say, but in whatever way you can concentrate best, that's the best for you. So it's not an absolute rule. I know that Srila Prabhupada, when he chanted with the New York devotees, were sitting down. That's the normal way you do japa. But I can well imagine that Prabhupada had to combine a morning walk. He had to do a morning walk, and he combined it by taking his disciples with him, and sometimes instructing them. Sometimes he would, you know, be silent and just talk. Prabhupada himself would sit when he was chanting. I saw him in Paris like this privately in his room. But he may have done a walk and combined it with japa. And there's also the movie, devotees say, where Prabhupada walks in his Los Angeles quarters. You might have seen a beautiful movie where he chants. Yes, you should always chant by being awake and asleep, by walking and so on. But we are now speaking about the japa technique. There it's preferable to sit. But again, if you are too tired or you have ants in the dhoti or the zari, it means be a little super active like the Pandavasenas, then no. If you are better off when you walk, no. It's really I think you can understand. Yes, someone can also pray while they walk up and down, but the normal situation would not that you go like a in Yugoslavian language. I had learned a new word. There is a like a fly without a head, they say, someone who's very nervous. You know, you can also walk when you pray, but the more traditional, usual thing is
let's first understand what is the most congenial or most favorable situation. And I think it makes sense. The spiritual practice, it's just something that has to do with contemplation and meditation and prayer. And when you are in this place, you can certainly walk. So my answer is always, please try to sit when you are not tired and see for yourself if that suits you. And then also be flexible and walk when you wish to walk and find it more suitable to yourself. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yesterday when we were on Harina, does that mean there's less prayer and contemplation and meditation? In which case, if there's less, why are we recommended to do so much of it, do Harina?
Harinam is mostly for people. We want to spread the holy names to those who are not yet informed. It's really a preaching activities, Naga Sankirtan, singing in the Naga in the town. That's it should be done with banners, with there are instructions in our scriptures how to do. And yesterday we did very well with that. Ooh, that coordinated dancing in the front. Did you notice what an impression it must have? We really were in Madrid yesterday. that is really sure. Mm-hmm. So, but obviously, as you do Harinam or dancing, you can also do it in a absent-minded way or in a connected way where you turn to Krishna. It's possible. Mm-hmm. Sankirtan should also be done, Sankirtan is done when groups of people come together. The idea is together. And then there can be dancing. Doesn't have to be there. But it can be. Dancing can be there, which would mean you offer your dancing for the pleasure of Krishna. The ideal way is really to offer everything for Krishna, to do everything for Krishna. Dancing, sitting down, Harinam, sitting down, Harinam, and so on. But in Harinam, it's a special type of Harinam. It's called Naga Sankirtan. We want to visit all the town and chant to all the people in the town. Like it is said in the prayer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would early in the morning go to the villages with his Sankirtan party and wake the still sleeping people chanting, Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari. Mukunda Yamadava Yadavari Polena. Don't know what it is. But he would say, wake up, sleeping people. It was a preaching activity. Why do you waste your time toiling in the day and sleeping during the night? And why don't you see how your time is passing away and you're missing to serve the darling of the heart, the son of Mother Yashoda? This is Naga Sankirtan, a very particular form of Sankirtan. Mm-hmm. All right, here's Nimai with a question, and then slowly I will try to answer very briefly so that our Mataji with the sitting situation can also ask. Yes.
In terms of everything which you've taught us to go deeper and for the heart meditate on the meaning of the mantra, so in kirtan, if you're participating, like playing an instrument,
mm-hmm.
or clapping or coordinating, sometimes it's hard to do, but even if you think I'm serving the kirtan, there might mm-hmm. be an aspect of, like, you're being told, don't speed up, or whatever.
Yeah.
So how do does one serve the kirtan by playing the instrument but still trying?
The best doing kirtan and also doing japa is to always return to one service. When you return to that service, other services will manifest from that one service. And the service, which we could call the foundational service or the ground service on which all other services stand, is just listening to the holy name. Let the holy name, let him enter your heart. Welcome him by listening attentively to him. That's, and from there, all types of feelings come. But if you don't listen to the holy name, if you are not there, then it's called pramoda, madness, for which all offenses result. Imagine I invite someone, and then I'm not there when he comes. I heard this once, that early when we started the preaching in Yugoslavia, two preachers came from Stockholm in Scandinavia down to Zagreb because they were invited by one person, and when they knocked at the door, no one opened. They knocked for half an hour until they found somewhere a piece of paper. I'm not home. I'm at the Adria swimming. It's summer and it's hot. How offensive, you know, to invite someone and then not being there for them. It's really too much, isn't it? Do you agree? So we are inviting or calling Krishna, and if we are not there, Nimai, when he comes, this is too much. It is called madness, you know, pramoda. It's the father of all offenses. So always return to giving your full attention and save to that. Sometimes we think giving attention is that service. Oh yes, very much. You give time, you give, you don't let anything else come. It's a very important seva. Yes, one more question and then a small kirtan, concluding kirtan. We can at least one Hare Krishna mantra we can. Yes, Mataji. Dancing, yes.
You know, sometimes the kirtan is like nice, kind of graceful dancing, and sometimes like it becomes like wild, and you are trying to like, you know, enjoy the dancing and like, you know, chanting and dancing, but suddenly like some people are jumping around and things like that, and like, you know, they put bending into it and things like that, and then it's very difficult to enjoy that mood. How do
you control with it? Mataji, you are now no longer 18 years old, so you don't need to dance wildly and crazily. You are a dignified Indian lady, you know. Let the young teenagers, you know, who boiling with energy and who otherwise will go to the discotheque, you know, let them bring their youthful energy into the kirtan and so on. But we older people will stand on the side and dance gracefully, but when we become mad, we become mad, and then everything else is gone with us also. I was such a wild dancer, you can't imagine. I mean, I would. There was a time where I could really engage all my wildness in Krishna service. We had these Gauranga Bhajan group concerts. And at the end, you know, we had these wild kirtans, and my role was the animator. I had to bring the whole hall for dancing. And so I would dress in a flaming red dhoti and shirt. It looked like a flame, blazing flame. Then I would have ropes, and in the midst of the kirtan, I would go on ropes over the audience, you know. Yes, it was very, very nice, acrobatically. I had buckets full of perfumed waters and I would spray it over the people. Wow! And I would have things you wouldn't believe, you know, banners and long streamers and sprays. And then at the highest of it, I would jump into the crowd and they had to, they were capturing me. And then one time, the whole hall went so mad and so crazy that they all wanted, for souvenir's sake, a little part of my dhoti. And I came back onto the stage, you know, in a very compromised clothing arrangement, you know. There was hardly anything left over from the shirt, you know. And then I thought, well, this doesn't have to be, you know, it's not important that this is a regular feature. It was necessary in the young, but now we should gracefully dance for the pleasure of Krishna. That is not self-centered dancing. But the young people, let them come and let them be purified and so on. I very much appreciated yesterday what the Matajis did. Really was so wonderful. Have you noticed how graceful they? Oh my God! Looked like the heavenly planets. And people left and right of Madrid fainted from seeing this graceful movements. So on. And also the boys really did also very nice. It was nice dancing. I didn't think it was absolutely mad or wild. No, it was acceptable, no? I think it was very cultured, no? Krishna Kiran, or did you see extreme wild dancing?
I was preoccupied by the girls in the front. I couldn't see enough.
Yeah. You had to see where are we going. You had to direct the... Yeah, it was a whole traffic. There was a whole traffic arrangement, you know. Then Krishna Kirtan and said to me, "Okay, we now have to bring the kirtan there." And I really had to maneuver. I felt like a general, you know. Okay, there are the Mataji, so where do we go with the kirtan? And we moved around here, and we came there, and we. Graceful dancing, that's the idea. And do you, according to what is graceful for you? Swami step, Prabhupada says the Swami step. But you're a little elderly and graceful, no need of wild dancing. It's not the culture. It's the young people. We always have young people. Let the young people do the young things. It's important for them. Good. Our last question for our... yes. Virinda Kishori.
Sorry, it's just leading on from that. So, I'm in the middle now. I used to be a young person.
Young. You're now middle.
When I'm sitting down listening to kirtan, I can really try and appreciate the holy name.
Yeah.
When I get up to dance, all of a sudden it goes further and further away, and then it's about dancing. So in my situation where I know that I do actually want to really appreciate the holy name, but I do actually want to dance, I'm on the fence. So what would you suggest?
I suggest something which once a nice devotee told another devotee. When you chant, you think Krishna is there. He's really there. And as you chant and dance, you think Krishna is really there. He's observing you Vrinda Kishori. And then you dance very nicely. Automatically, when someone is there whom you appreciate, your behavior changes to give pleasure, or is it called reference to that person? No? It's odd. Just think, Krishna is there. Radha and Krishna are there. And I'm dancing for them. That's very wonderful. Dancing is an art, because we have to give pleasure and not so much take pleasure. When I was, I had the surgery, which was very painful and very bad. And afterwards, I barely survived. And you know what made me healthy? I danced in my mind every day before Radha Syam Sundar. I imagined I'm in the Krishna Balaram temple. You know, I knew this description from our scriptures, and danced in the mind, and was very happy. It was very, very nice, just for them. Okay. Let us end this workshop by very lovingly singing, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai. Jaya Radha Govinda Chanda, Radha Govinda Chanda, Radha Govinda Chanda Radhe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Premanandi Gaur Premanandi Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. It's actually interesting. I'm giving the same workshop through the week. I'm really, well, in the beginning it was, we had to overhaul it again, to, you know, make it a little bit more suitable. But I'm not getting bored doing it. Usually I get bored if I say the same thing all over again, but it's just so nice. So nice. Remember three words. Body, mind, and heart. What do we do with the body? Posture, pronunciation, listening. Okay, mind, one mantra or even one's name at the time, giving full attention. What is the dimension of the heart? Prayer, prayerful chanting. Please accept me in your service. Prayerful chanting. And when you do this, you will come before the temple of the holy name, where Radha and Krishna will surely reveal themselves to you. Simple formula. You can remember it. No need of notes. You just do it. Okay, do I sit proper? Do I pronounce properly? Oh my God, my mind, yes. What do I do with this? Full attention.
what's going on in the present. That is this mantra. We are chanting this mantra now. Okay, the heart, I have no feeling. What is wrong? Oh, I forgot about the meaning of the holy name, that I'm actually addressing Radha and Krishna in a prayerful mood. Zack, it's done. I mean, for the workshop, it's done. It will take a life to practice this, to bring it to a completion. But every step you do on this road is a step of ecstasy. Hare Krishna. So, thank you very much. See you in the evening again at Hare Krishna.
So Maharaj will be repeating the workshop again.
Yes, 4 o'clock or 4:30.
Yeah. We've got two groups, all the workshop coordinators. Today's the last workshop. And